But I'm glad for this privilege and this honor to be back here. Boy, I tell you, we have been keeping the road hot, and it sure is good to get to come back home, sleep in your own bed, eat at your own table, sit in your own recliner, and go to your home church. Hallelujah. If you love your pastor, show him some love. Would you do that? Man, I tell you, easy to love. Old Freddie Hart said, easy loving. It's easy to love those folks. Appreciate them so much. Amen. Thank you for coming today. I want you to get in, let the Lord touch you. Do something special in your life. And I want you to come back tonight. Hey, ain't nothing on TV worth missing the service tonight. Can't blame it on the weather. Amen. Come back tonight and let's experience a move of God. Your church needs you here. Your pastor expects you here. The Lord wants you here. Now I'm asking you to come and help me to have church tonight. Well, we've been over in the Brinkley, Arkansas area in revival. And I called Mom and told her, you know, I'm going to be that close. I'll drive on over halfway if my sister or brother-in-law will drive you up. So we met two hours in between. And I picked Mama up and brought her up here Thursday evening and been with us this weekend. And she just been so glad. She's been stepping on the clouds thinking about coming back here to worship the Lord. For those of you who are just so used to being here all the time, and, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. You get to the place to where you just get settled in your ways. And I think Mama's probably managed to irritate some of them folks down in Mississippi, telling them all about how sorry their churches are and how good hers is. Well, if y'all went to our church in Oklahoma, well, that guy can't preach nothing like Brother Carl. Well, who's Brother Carl? Well, he's my pastor. That's who it is. They all don't sing near as good as the people do up in Oklahoma. She's been telling them like it is. She hung around Franklin Parker too long. It rubbed off. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming today. And let's look to the word of the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's read beginning at the 20th verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at the 20th verse. You know, it's been a difficult week, hadn't it? Week and a half. The sad news out of Florida about that school shooting. Still, our news media and society thinks that the gun is the problem. You know where I went to school at in Tennessee? About at least half to two-thirds of my classmates drove to school with a pickup truck that had guns hanging in the rack. And we went hunting before school, and we went hunting after school, and then went home. And, you know, we never thought about shooting school up, because we knew our dad would take the gun and kill us with it when we got home. That's just the way it was in those days, right? And we never thought about beating our teacher up. You see that every day. And Billy Graham died. You know, I said this week, it seems like in my heart, it just like a part of America died when that old guy left here. We just, you know, those of us from our mid-40s up, remember that man being on TV preaching those crusades and all of the thousands and thousands of people who have accepted Christ as their Savior. And now it's like a part of that's gone. Even though he's been out of the limelight for 20 years, I guess, still, it's a grieving process. And so anyway, it's been difficult, but you know, the sun's coming up in the morning. God has his people here, and until he's done on this earth, we're going to remain faithful, right? We're going to obey him and do what he'd ask of us. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, and read. Are you there? But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I want to share a message with you today that I have titled A Vessel of Honor. It is my desire before the Lord to be a vessel of honor for Him, to be a vessel that He can take and use and do something with, that He can be magnified in my life. Pray with me, would you? Father, what a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord again here at Cornerstone and to see these wonderful people, to worship the Lord with these wonderful pastors. And Lord, we just praise you for your presence here. Let the aroma of heaven fill this sanctuary. Let the unction from the Holy One come. Let that salve of the Spirit come. And Lord, help us to deliver this message of truth. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and glory and honor. And all the saints of the Lord all said, amen. Amen. I brought with me today an object lesson to kind of use with my message. This cup was my cup when I finally stopped drinking from a bottle and started drinking out of a cup. This was it. It is a measuring cup, and it's made out of aluminum. Starts out at one cup and works its way down to a fourth. This was my childhood cup. And it's lasted now. This next Sunday, I'll be 59 years old, March the 4th, 1959. I saw the light of day. And I want to share some lessons that I got from this cup. If you're taking notes, write this down. This is what I've learned about my cup. Number one, it has lasted. It has lasted. In fact, it's outlasted all of my childhood toys. There's not a toy I got left because I beat them to pieces. I played with them, right? Amen. We spent a fortune on toys only to watch the child play with the box. But it's outlasted my clothes and my shoes and bowls and plates and every childhood belonging this cup has outlasted. And you know what, folks? God wants us to last. He wants us to stay with it. He wants us to serve Him till the day we breathe our last breath. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas didn't last. But ladies and gentlemen, verse 7, he said, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And that's what God wants all of us to do. He wants us to last. You know, I remember as a boy growing up watching, we'd be watching the wide world of sports. We'd be watching Kurt Gowdy or somebody going out on a big game hunt. And they'd have a commercial. And this guy'd climb up these rocks, get up there to a certain spot and dive. And before he dove, he'd throw his wrist up there and the camera would get a picture, Timex watch. And he'd dive down. Hit the water, come popping out, climb up over there, throw his wrist up, and there's a cameraman at the bottom, and he caught that watch and said, Timex watches, takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Well, you know what he did? He made me and my brother want a Timex watch. We'd go to the local Ben Franklin Five and Dine. We didn't have Walmart, the full-fledged 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week Christian shopping center. If you want to find the saints, just go there. You may not find them at church. Well, you'll find them at Walmart. Thank you for those three grunts. Hallelujah. And you know what? Me and my brother wanted one of those Timex watches because it could take a licking and keep on ticking. Do you know, folks, we should never quit, never give up. You know, you get a little trouble and all of a sudden we're ready to throw our hands up, get mad at God. How many people are outside the church today because things didn't work out the way they thought they would, their prayer didn't get answered, or it didn't come out the way they thought it should, and they quit? All over LaFleur and Sequoia and Sebastian and Crawford County, there are people that used to be in church serving the Lord that are outside the doors, sitting at home, sour, bitter, and angry. They didn't last. You know why? You got to stick with it, brother. You got to look. You got to roll with the punch. You've got to know. You got to have your mind made up. Kind of like when Dad got saved. Preacher said, "Now, Mr. Parker, we need to go behind your house now that you're saved. I've got my axe. You take your sledgehammer. We're going to go behind the house and tear down your steel. And Dad said, but what if I backslide? You can't make provision for the flesh. You got to have a made up mind. Come on, somebody. And he said, okay, let's go. He tore it up. You got to stick with it. Last. This December the 30th, Sharon and I have been married 36 years. We're sticking with it. We're going to last. Hallelujah. You have bad days? Yeah. There are days that she doesn't agree with me. And that's a bad day. But you know what? You stick with it. There are days, Sharon said, I make three or four kinds of gravy. Thick, thin, lumpy, and chocolate. It's okay. You learn to stick with it. Last, how many churches, how many of us live an elevator shaft roller coaster experience? Up, down, up, down, up, down, in, out. In. You think we're in an exercise room. In, out, right? It's because we don't last. Brother, it doesn't matter whether the rain, it don't matter whether it snowed. You got a headache, you go to work with a headache. You go to Walmart with a headache. You go to Walmart with in the rain. Come on. Well, we ought to go to church. We ought to love God in the rain or bad times or good times. Oh, I wish somebody had a chance to say hallelujah today. Number two, second lesson I learned about my cup is it's always done its job. All it was ever meant to do, it has done. And that was give me a drink. And it has been a faithful vessel. For years and years, it completed its purpose. Paul said in the text, we are to be prepared unto every good work. Matthew 25, Jesus gave us the story of the talents. And he said, the Lord's answer to those who took their talents and used them, well done, good and faithful servant. To the one who did not, but hid his in the ground, the Lord said, thou wicked and slothful servant. So I want to ask you today, are you doing the job God's put you on this earth to do? This cup has always done its job. And I want to ask you, are you doing the job that God has appointed and anointed you to do? Are you involved in the work of the Lord? You know, are you reaching out? Are you telling folks about Jesus? Everybody you meet is either going to heaven or going to hell. Isn't that the truth? Faith reduced to the most single definition is faithful. Are you faithful? Are you doing the job God put you on this planet to do? And if we're not doing that job, we need to get busy doing the job of the Lord that he's put us on this planet to do. Third lesson I learned about this cup, it has never complained. After 58 years, I've never heard it complain. Of use and abuse, it has never complained. It never did say, I don't want to do this no more. This cup has never said to me, I don't want you to drink from me. It has never said to me, I hate my color. It has never said to me, why don't you drink from another glass on the shelf? You know what? It has gladly done its job. And Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 43, murmur not among yourselves. In Jude verse 16, he said, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Do you know why Peter chose the first deacon board in the book of Acts? Murmuring and complaining. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible said there arose a murmuring about how the women folk in the church were being treated. They had 20,000 people in the church and didn't have a deacon board. Thank you for those three grunts. Our education about church work is so slanted, and the only thing we know is what Grandpa knew instead of reading the book. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 men got saved. Well, if half of those men were married, that's 1,500 wives. That's 4,500 people. Well, if they had two kids among them out of those 1,500, that jumps it up to 7,500 people, right? Later, a chapter or two over, 5,000 men were saved. If half of them were married, that's another 2,500 wives. You put two kids to that, that's 12,000 people. Ladies and gentlemen, that's 20,000 people in the New Testament church and didn't even have a deacon. And finally, there rose this murmuring. And finally, Peter said, I'm not going to quit praying and studying the word to go wait on tables. Choose out men and let's get some men to go out there and do this. Take care of the people. I'm going to spend my time in study and prayer. And they went and picked out seven men, honest report, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. Men who could fulfill that position. Put seven of them to handle 20,000. I got a friend that pastored a church in Kentucky, and it had 50 people in it. 10 of them was deacons. Don't think I'm angry at deacons, but our concepts are so crazy. You know, my pastor used to say, if you're going to be a deacon in the church, before you ever get to be a deacon, you're supposed to have a paintbrush in your hand already. You're supposed to be out there mowing the grass and picking up the beer cans out of the grass. That's what a deacon does. He ministers. Well, glory. Woo! How's my buddy, little buddy over there in Fayetteville, wherever it's at? Woo! Hallelujah. Derek. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul said, do all things. Say all things. What's all things? All things. Do all things without. Say without. Without. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. I want to ask you a question. Are you a murmurer? Are you a complainer? You know, to some folks, it's something wrong all the time. Something's always wrong. Man, I wish it'd warm up. Man, it's hot. Wish it'd quit this raining. Man, we need some rain. It's hot in this church. It's cold in this church. So-and-so didn't shake my hand. They didn't bring the right food to this meal. Beans are not done. Cornbread don't taste good. Tea's not sweet enough. Y'all come on now, help me. You know the difference between faithfulness and loyalty? You can be asked to do a job, and if you do the job and complete the task, you can be counted faithful. But if you do it complaining and murmuring, you can be counted faithful, but you're not loyal. I want to be loyal. I want to be somebody that counts it a blessing to get to do something for God. I want to be one who says, I want to do that, and I'll do it as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Number four. Fourth lesson I learned about my cup. It has never been jealous. It has never said, I'm not as big as the other glasses on the shelf. It has never said to me, I wish I was a plate or a spoon. It has never said to me that I'm jealous for all the other attention the other glasses on the shelf got. Glory. In fact, this cup hasn't been used in over 56 years, but I've never heard it gossip on the other glasses in the cabinet. You know, folks, can I just be honest with you? Jealous people are as cruel as they come. Jealous people are as cruel as they come. Phil, you and Sharon, stand up. Come up here with me. They didn't know I was going to do this. Just come up here and stand. Face the people. Now, you got a choice. You get married. What happens? You want to marry a beautiful lady. You're going to be looking at her all the time. People in church only see them at church, right? He's going to be waking up beside of her, right? You want to marry a good-looking woman, don't you? Hadn't you rather be married to somebody good-looking than ugly? You're going to get married? You want a handsome dude, don't you? You want somebody when you look at, woo, boy, you got it all going on. Look at you handsome rascal coming down that hall. Woo! Thank you, guys. Right? But jealous folks, they'll marry the handsomest dude on the block and then get jealous of him when a woman looks at him. This is the guiltiest looking bunch I've ever seen in my life. Right? Jealousy is as cruel as it comes. Jealous folks, you can get together and have a family get together, and they'll get jealous about somebody bragging on somebody else's pie and not bragging on theirs. And they'll blow up and make a scene, and it ruins the whole thing because they're jealous. Woo-wee. Now you know why I love my cup so much. Hurt the folks that are jealous. They hurt others without regard to the consequences. They don't like church growth because it threatens their influence. They don't like other singers and musicians. Somebody get up and sing, well, I can do better than that. What are they doing up there? Did you know the Hatfields and McCoys? You know, when I was growing up in Tennessee, when I was a senior in high school, I dated one of the McCoys. That's her family, the McCoys, from near Hazard County, Kentucky. And the Hatfield, everybody in America knows about the Hatfields and McCoys. And do you know that all started over jealousy? Jealousy. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're not careful, we'll be just like the McCoys. We'll get jealous of one another. Look at her. Ooh, she went and got that dress before I could get up there, Cato's, and get it. Look at her. They bought that truck, and I wanted that truck and that color. Now if I get one, they'll say I'm trying to be like them. Do you see that ring on her finger? You see she's over there praising the Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Do you see them shoes? She knew I said I wanted that color. Shoes? I'm talking to saved folks, people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, folks who are looking for Jesus to come back and struggling over what our brother or our sister's got. You know, I used to like to play golf. I still like it, but I just seem like I don't have the time. I'm constantly on the road, and I come in, and, you know, I don't really have a lot of time. I know I've got some men in this church ready to go. If I call, they're going to say go, and I'm afraid. Because they'd say, yeah, and I get out there, and I'm playing in the woods. I'm chasing golf balls all over where the snakes are at. Right? You know what I'm trying to say, guys? And you know, I'm standing up there looking. They got that pretty swing. Look like Payne Stewart, you know. Some of you remember that. You know, swing look like Jack Nicklaus. I'm up there like Arnold Palmer. Now, he could hit it down there, but he had a strange swing. Or I'm up there like Charles Barkley. If you don't know, you need to YouTube that. You'll laugh, too. Song of Solomon 8 and verse 6 said, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. You know, one pastor said to me, brother, I got problems in my church. And I said, why? And he said, because I don't have a piano player. I said, no, you don't. I said, I got problems. He said, why? I said, I got two. Did you know some people don't want to do anything in the church but get jealous of somebody else volunteers? Well, how dare them do that? I've been in this church 10 years, and I've never got up there. They volunteered. You want to give the pastor a shock? You want to just send him on to glory? Volunteer. He'll die of shock right on the spot. Jealousy. This cup has never been jealous of the other cups. I got to quit. Some of y'all getting tired of visiting with me. It's a little bit too strong. Number five, the fifth lesson I learned about my cup. If you ain't said amen, I'm just going to go ahead and prophesy right now and say, you ain't going to do it now. Number five lesson that I've learned about my cup, it stayed in its place. There are dents on this cup. You can see there's one right there, pretty good sized dent. Dents around on it, all around it. You can see it's not even rounded anymore. It's kind of bent around, twisted around. You know what? These scratches and dents came because of me. I moved it. They happened because I grabbed a hold of it. And folks, this cup was contented to sit on the shelf. And you know what, folks? We must stay where God puts us. We get into trouble when we get out of our place. Y'all know what I'm saying? Let me give this to you. In any place where you don't have any responsibility, you don't have to have or share an opinion. You didn't hear me, did you? I'll say it again. In any place where you don't have responsibility, you don't have to have or share an opinion. People used to tell me when I pastored, well, I've got an opinion. I said, that's great, as long as you keep it to yourself. You know, there's some things you can't talk about. You want to talk about get the saints standing up on their hind legs quick. Talk about tithing for a little bit. Talk about giving. Brother, let me tell you, they'll throw hymn books at you. They love that song, "It is mine, mine, blessed be his name." Hallelujah. Anything that I say that hits you is purely intentional. I'm aiming right at you. Hallelujah. You know, if we're not careful, we'll get into trouble because we've just got to have an opinion. We've just got to say something. Well, you know, what'd you think about that vest, Brother Parker? It really don't matter what opinion you have. I put it on because I like it. What do you think about that purple shirt? It doesn't matter what you think about that purple shirt. Phil wore that purple shirt because he likes purple. You see what I'm saying, folks? I don't like that tan-colored carpet. Well, it don't matter. Put your feet on it and keep walking. I don't like that color car. It don't matter. Uncle Bud Robinson was a Nazarene preacher, and he was a holiness preacher. He was up preaching, and he had a bright colored tie on. And this lady came up to him after service and said, "Uncle Bud, that tie offends me. It's too bright colored. That's the spirit of Jezebel on you. You're trying to show out with that bright colored tie." Well, Uncle Bud talked with a lisp. He reached in his pocket, pulled his knife out, reached up there and grabbed it and cut it off at the knot. With the blade open, he took the tie and handed it to her and said, "I'm sorry, sister. Now here's my knife. Your tongue offends me." You see that car Dennis drives around? Yeah, and don't you just love it? You just love it. Well, I don't. It doesn't matter what matters is what he thinks. You know, opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got one and it stinks. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stay in our place for God. We need to be contented to be put where God plants us. You know, the question is, what has this glass done? Why has this glass done these things that I've shared with you today? Because it's dead. It has no life in it. And you know what, folks? This cup didn't have a choice. I manipulated this cup all these years. You and I have a choice. We have a choice to do the right thing. It's many times, though, we won't do the right thing because we have a will, and our will messes us up. And there's a lot of people today that are not saved, that don't know the Lord, that ought to be serving God, but their will is in the way. Now, they may blame it on everything under the sun around them, but the truth is, folks, we all will give account of ourselves to God. You're not going to stand before him and say, "Let me tell you about Brother Dan while I'm here." He's going to say, "I don't need to hear nothing you got to say. I got it all written down over in a book." And he knows everything about you. And you and I are going to give account for ourselves to God. Amen. You know, the language of the flesh says, I want, I think, I feel. The middle letter of sin is I. And I, you know, we blame every body under the sun for our troubles, when the truth is, it's me. It's you. Nobody twisted my arm today and said, now don't you lift your hand and praise the Lord. I didn't lift my hand if I didn't because I didn't want to. I didn't say praise the Lord because I didn't want to. I didn't say hallelujah because I didn't want to. That's just the way it is. Right? And folks, if we're not careful, our own will will get us into trouble. Our own will will take us to hell because we want it our way. And it's not our way. It's not my way. It's God's way. It's not my opinion. It's what the book says. It's what the Holy Word of God says. Not what the Quran says. Not the Book of Mormon. It's what the Holy Book says. It's what God's Word has to say. And every one of us should give account for what was in that book, how we lived our life. And brother, we want to be like that song the lady signed to a few minutes ago. We want the blood of Jesus over our lives when we stand before Him. You know, when it comes down to the last moment of your life, you know what? You're not going to think about all the good times you had. You're going to think about, am I really ready to stand before the Almighty? Is my heart right with God? It's not what so-and-so said to me when I came to church and made me feel good about myself. It's, am I ready to face Him? And the truth is, does anybody in this audience today know you're not going to today? You may face Him today. I may face, this may be my last sermon. And have I told you the truth? Have I done my best to point you to, you know, there's a better way of living. We can live in victory. I don't have to go to bed lying there with Linda on my mind. Come on, guys. Y'all ain't got no past. Y'all all lily white hands. You ain't never done nothing in your life. Y'all just already were angels before God ever saved you. You didn't really have to be saved. And I'm telling you, I did. We were sinners. Today, you don't call them sinners. They're pre-Christian. But when we got saved, we was lost. We were sinners. And we listened to Conway saying, lying here with Linda on my mind. Dad sang him Hank Williams song, drinking songs. And he drank. And we got saved. And he quit. You see what I'm saying? See, folks, ain't nothing that he gave up. When he crossed that finish line and that gate of pearl clicked behind his heels, there wasn't nothing he gave up. He said, well, I wished I could have held on to that a little more. Brother, he's glad he did whatever it took to get over there. Now, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You know, if I'm going to really try to make impact, if I'm going to be a vessel of honor, if I'm going to do everything I can in life to impact people, then I've got to consider my ways. I've got to consider my ideas. You know, I pastored folks that never had a dozen words to say, but they were faithful, loving, kind, praying people who were there when the doors were open. They were in the Word of God, solid. You looked up there, they sitting out there smiling at you. Some folks looking at you like a bulldog. I pastored a church. We had a son, somebody put a big old clock in the back. And we had an old guy, he'd sit up in the front. And he didn't want to sit in the back, he wanted to sit in the front. But he'd about 11:45, he'd take a nap from about 11 till 11:45. Get off in Never Never Land, snoring. I'm up there preaching like a man fighting bees, you know, jugular vein sticking 2 inches out on my neck. I mean, you know, just skin won't hardly hold me. And he's a wife elbowing him, didn't matter. If I called his name, 2/3 of you'd know him. And he said right here, and about 11:45, he had an automatic clock. He'd wake up. He'd be sitting here at him. And, you know, I'm older now. I'm not like I used to be. You just should have seen me when I was young. Brother Tom, I'd look at him sometimes and I'd say, yeah, brother, that's a quarter till. I'll tell you. If you're taking your medicine, it's a quarter till. One old boy comes to me one day and he said, I hate that clock. I put a sign up there underneath it that said, remember Lot's wife. She turned around, looked, and turned into a salt lick. After about six more months, that old boy came back to me and said, I hate that clock. I said, you know, if that clock was to go somewhere, I wouldn't care. Next Sunday, I came in that sanctuary and that clock was gone. I don't know where it went. To this day, I don't know where it went. He came by me and he said, don't ask. I said, okay. Sure enough, here he come. Quarter till. He almost, I'm coming to see Elizabeth. I'm coming. And I took the clock out to church. Woo! I can't make it. Lord, have mercy. See, he lived to get that attention. Sister Norma's sitting over there grinning because she knows exactly who I'm talking about. He lived for that attention. Now he don't have it. He almost backslid over. Well, I don't know if he was saved in the first place, but if he was, he almost backslid over that clock. You see, he loved that clock more than he loved the house of God. He had more of a relationship with the building than he did the preacher. You know what I'm saying? There are people who love a church more than they love the preacher. Your loyalty is not to the building itself, it's to the leadership you have. It's your shepherd. It's your people. Right? Father, in the name of Jesus, I've delivered my soul, and I ask you to breathe upon this audience today. God, if there's one in this audience who knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're not living a life that is a vessel of honor. Maybe it's someone who's been saved, but just been contrary and complaining and murmuring and fault-finding and jealous and always in the wrong place. God, help us to face ourselves and to be everything you'd have us to be. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Stand with me all over the building. I'm not going to take you through any spiritual calisthenics this morning. And I'm not going to embarrass you. But if today, Pastor, would you come up here, please, sir, and stand up here with me. Your pastor loves souls. He's a soul winner. Everything he does. That's why I love this man so. He's a soul winner, always reaching for somebody else. Today, you're here on Sunday morning. And you know, if the Lord called you home, you're really unsure if you're ready to face him. There's a doubt in your mind. You know, if he called me today, I wouldn't be ready. And I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know, there's a song my wife said to sing it at my funeral. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. So while all over this audience, the Holy Spirit moves, God touches your heart. I'm going to ask you if you're unprepared to face eternity. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to step out and not be ashamed of the Lord before people. You'll just come down here to this altar and let's talk to the Lord about it. Hallelujah. If you're uncertain of your eternal destiny, my wife plays that song, I Surrender All. Maybe there's something you need to surrender to the Lord. You know, it might be a little difficult for you because I preached it right down the line here today and kind of said some things that you may feel like that would be embarrassing if you came. Listen, folks, don't ignore what anybody might think. Just come to Jesus and make it right. Oh, the best day of your life is to go out of a church knowing you're ready to meet God. You're ready to face the Lord. Sing that, Sharon.